That bothers me less than this one. You could bribe the Bochum with it.
Please God, there'll be no bribery.
Oh, stir. Other awareness, eh? How did you know my tongue was stuck to the roof of my mouth?
You get on the end of the talking.
For the last
mate, I didn't
even have a hug. When I met you, I wasn't coming out. Oh, that's good. Thank you. Okay. Acharei Hashem Elokim Elokeichel Teleichu. Mesupa Baratania, Shabiremi Chomes Napoleon, Vatsa Harusi. The Baal HaTanya must have lived in the times of Napoleon and the Russian Tsar. They were in a fight. Hutl oitzal shchunas maguro. Ein yoitze v'ein bo. They sealed off the area where he lived. What's it called? A siege. You can't come in, you can't go out. Baal HaTanya sheshakur kulu b'avodis Hashem lo yedemu ma'alkein alkach. The Baal HaTanya was so involved in his doing, he didn't know. No one told him there was a war. No one told him that the neighborhood had been sealed off. I think it means not there was a sea, there was a curfew. You weren't allowed to go in and out, I think. No, and you weren't allowed to go in, you weren't allowed to go in, you weren't allowed to go out. Some kind of curfew or whatever. So he went out to the mikveh, like he does on a normal day. I forgot to tell him, there was a war going on. The peter, suddenly a soldier stopped him, and grabbed him, took him off to jail. Hakatzin achoike, shaloto, the katzin, the whatever, the policeman there, I don't know what you call a katzin, like a sergeant major, whatever, I don't know. The soldier there, they interrogated him. So he asked him, Revi Lan, Halachta, Bashar Kol Mukdemes, where are you going so early? Ubala Taneshi, Lo Yoda, I don't know. Where am I going so early? He said, Madana? So in the middle of a war, in a curfew, and they stop in the middle of the road and ask you where you're going so early. He said, I don't know. So what do you think? So B'shol Chivosa Hamuzola Hechit Achoike Kivare Maragalu. The interrogator decided after this strange answer that for sure he's a spy. Va'avias Chakirose L'mafakeda Eloi. So he sent him to the chief interrogator, the mafaked, the whatever, the commander, whatever. The mafaked is the, yeah, the Hamerchet b'ro'isa lefan of Adam nasu panim, haven ki ein advarim prutim lechein hu shaloto. When he saw the face, he saw the chief interrogator saw who he was dealing with. He realized it's not poshut. Baal HaTanya must have had some kind of a hadras panim. He didn't look like the normal, you know, vagabonds that the chief interrogator in the prisons were dealing with. Yeah. So he said to him, Rebbe, ma pirush lo yodaya. Oh, this is a stickle of London, this policeman. You know, you said lo yodaya. What's pshat? The Rebbe said, Lo Yodea, what does it mean? Does it mean Lo Yodea or does it mean Lo Yodea? You know, geschmack. Viki Adam Chochem Kamoich Eli Yodea Lanu Alech.
In Mashi, he's fully Jewish.
No, Yiddish. Someone who's as wise as you doesn't know where he's going? And said about Baruch Be, he didn't know how to get from his house to the Beis Midrash and back again. Get another way. He lived a few feet away from whatever, because whenever he walked out, there was always Bochum around him talking and learning. So there was still like escorting to the Beis Midrash or whatever, and then on the way home as well, there was like a group of Bochum talking and learning. So he probably didn't know how to get from his house to the Beis Midrash. Ben Menachem told me by Zayda of Issa Zalman, he was having breakfast one morning. So his wife took out a piece of paper and she wrote something on it, she gave it to him. She said to him, when you come home tonight, go to this address because you're moving today. That's how much he knew what was going on around. Sold the house, bought a new house, going to move into that. This is on the Melter. Robertson decided to move. They moved. They didn't bother him with the details. He was learning. You have to be zeiche. You have to be zeiche. You have to be zeiche to such thing.
Yeah.
Hashu balatani. So what did the balatani want back? Adam achen eni yodai la'an ulelech. He said, it's true, a person doesn't know where he's going. Ani l'seimi chashafti kelech lebeit ha-knesses liud mod l'palel. I thought I was going to the Beit Knesset to daven and to learn. V'nei ani nemtzata bebeit ha-sor. And now I'm in jail. So what do you mean, where am I going? I don't know. The person walks outside, he thinks he's going to shul and he ends up in jail. So he dafka doesn't know where he's going. You don't get it, eh? They arrested him on the street, they said, where are you going? He said, I don't know. He was right, he didn't know. He didn't know where they were going to take him. He thought he was going to shul. But true, he ended up, he was in jail. So when they asked him, where are you going? He said, I don't know. He was right, he didn't know. Because he doesn't know where he's going to go. You think you know where you're going. You think you get in the car, you're going from A to B. How many times is a roadblock, or there's this, or there's a puncture, or the bridge is down. Any of them? I don't know. Rashad Ibanu. Someone who trusts in Hashem knows that there's no validity, toikef, period, no end. Toikef, I mean, strange Gorshon, Kate. To the dealings of mankind. Is that the right way to translate it? No? Any objections to that? Rakatochnit shemasadu ribayno ilam. Only the plans, the plans that Hashem has, those are the only ones that are going to happen. Because Shneimar al pi Hashem yichonev al pi Hashem yisov. By the mouth of Hashem they camped, and by the mouth of Hashem they traveled. Well, that's all you have. Hiyam mit kayemes. That's what's going to be established. And then it might just be Parsha Samon. That's why we have to read Parsha Samon. It's not a segula for Panosa. We started off saying, well, it's a good idea, Rosh Hashanah Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah says it's a good idea to read Parsha Samon every day. It's like it's good for Parnasa. Why is it good for Parnasa? It's some sort of a segula. You say these magic words and it goes up in Shemaim, and then whatever, there's sort of like magic happens. So that may happen as well. I'm not saying not. There is that aspect to it as well. But what you're saying, yeah, the Ikav Wed is you'll learn from the Parsha Samon, you'll realize, and you'll learn to live the way a person's supposed to live. The same way as they didn't know where the next meal was coming from, we also know where the next meal is coming from. And you think you know? Well, I have a job and I get a panos and I get a check every month. Yeah, you never heard of anyone getting fired on the spot? Yeah, you never heard of a war? And there's 300,000 Jews that like aren't living in their homes today. They had to leave their homes, leave their jobs. Businesses have shut down in one day. Boom. Guy's got a factory, he thinks he knows he's got a panos coming, he's got orders, they get whatever, and then boom, the next day he can't even go to work because it's too dangerous. He's living in a lot. Huh? How long did that take? So the same way, that's how we have to live. That's how we have to live. You have to make your ishtadlus, you have to do the best you can, but at the end of the day you have to know, Pi Hashem Yichonov, Pi Hashem Yosu. It's got nothing to do with me. Where are you going? I don't know. How are you going to make a panasa? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? How am I going to make ishtadlus? Yeah, that I know. But how am I going to make panasa? What's it going to do with me? How's it my business? So he's saying to Hillel, I don't know if anyone's asked the kasha. So Shila Maloy says, Soi Nahil Hoharim, Ma'ainya Boizri. I cast my eyes to the heavens, to the mountains, to the heights. Where will my help come from? David HaMelech asks. What's the teretz? Is Rimi Ima Shemo Yisei Shemayim Varet? What was the Havamina? You ask a Gemara Kasha. Are you allowed to ask Gemara questions on Tehillim? Mustoma, David HaMelech was a Lamdan, yeah? David HaMelech asks a Kasha. Ma'an Yavo is Rimi. V'yesh Laina is Rimi Ima Shemo Yisei Shemayim Varet. So two questions. First of all, what was the Havamina? Where did David HaMelech think his help was going to come from? And second of all, who's Hashem Oseh Shemayim Varetz? What other Hashem is there? Not that waste words. It's Tanakh. Is Rimeh Hashem Oseh Shemayim Varetz? What's Oseh Shemayim Varetz? Who else are we talking about? You know, there's another Hashem who wasn't Oseh Shemayim Varetz. No? Good questions. That's the lady asks these questions. This lady asks us like this. What was David HaMelech's question? It wasn't Ma'ayin Yavoh is Ri. Where's my help going to come? It's going to come from Hashem. That's possible to come from Hashem. It's which way is it going to come to me via Hashem? Which deal is going to be the thing that's going to make the bucks? Is it going to be this deal? Is it going to be this investment? Is it going to be this? Yeah? in the war, which battle's going to win it, which, you know, which bomb's going to be the, you know, the secret weapon that's going to pull it off. What's a teret? Is really Hashem Oisei Shemayim V'aretz. Who are we dealing with here? We're dealing with Hashem that was Oisei Shemayim V'aretz. You understand Oisei Shemayim V'aretz? You understand how Hashem made the world? You understand the workings of the world? Just like you don't understand the workings of the world, you also don't understand how your panos is going to come to you, or your Izri, whatever your someone learned us about Shiduchim. So I now El Hohorim, I cast my eyes to my parents, Hohorim. Ma'an Yavor Izri, where will my Ezer Kenegdo come from? Izri is Ezer Kenegdo. And they turn back and they say to me, Izri, Hashem, Oisei Shemayim V'aretz. In the same way, you don't understand Hashem, Shemayim V'aretz, you won't understand how you're going to get a Shiduch either. It's true, no? Trying to work out where and how and what and whatever. Forget about it. You're not going to work that out. So you have to make your shtadlus. You do what you can and you go right. Same here. That's why you have to be Parsha Saman, because what does Parsha Saman do? It makes you a boteach. Alani lo moed zois mi Parsha Saman, kishen shebe meshach arvim shana lo daigu b'nei Yisrael es daigas hamoiche v'amekach betuchim v'ashem mikoyach v'betuchim v'ashem. In the same way, for 40 years the Jewish people didn't have a worry about tomorrow. Why not? Because they had the betuchim, they were there, they had the koyach of betuchim v'ashem. Kamo kem ato, so to now. Kol yudi hanu kegoimel ala imoy. I still haven't found that pasuk. If anyone went to look for it, ketinik she'ani yodei mai daiga klal. The 1 year old know what a worry is. He cries. He gets his bottle. He gets to feed. Whatever it is. 6 month old has daigas. He can be on an aeroplane. He can be on a boat. He can be traveling from Beirut to Saigon. Where are you? He's with Ima. He's kegoimel ala imoy. He's like he's nursing from his mother. That's how we have to be with Hashem. Pshuta, like a little baby nursing from his mother. That's betoch. At some level. Oh, so what's Ishtadlus all about then?
A little bit such betoch. Leave a child and don't feed him for 3 seconds and he goes hysterical.
Yeah, but you're not going to leave him for more than 3 seconds. It means he goes hysterical, you'll feed him. So he knows. He goes hysterical and he gets what he wants. He's not worried. The child's not worried. The child's screaming to get your attention. He's not screaming because he's worried.
Why?
You get different kinds of screams. You know, there's a scream I'm hungry, and there's a scream I'm panicking because you walked out the room and I don't think you're ever coming back again. That's something else. The child doesn't see to the future. Children get to a certain age, they call it separation anxiety. You walk out the room, right? So he can't see you, so he thinks that's it, you're gone. The child doesn't have the understanding that you've gone and you're coming back. He eventually learns to realize that as he gets a bit older, they get to a certain age, whatever, they realize you're going, you're coming back. But a child gets to a certain age, as you walk out the door, that's it. He thinks he's never going to see you again. So he has a panic attack, starts screaming. There's a different scream to the scream, I'm hungry. There's a different scream. No, but a 1 year old, a 6 month old baby doesn't have daigas. Then he feels hungry, so he cries. That's how he's made. And then you feed him. But if you'd leave him for a week and not feed him, he'd still cry. He wouldn't be worried. So he doesn't have a concept of worry. הכל ראי להי הוא שחי אמונה בתוכן הן ורק הן מהווים ערובה לשלווס הנפש ולרגיע. The cloud that we come upon is that someone who is living with אמונה בתוכן or a life of אמונה בתוכן הן ורק הן, only that life of אמונה בתוכן will result in a that one will have shalvas hanefesh, tranquility of soul and regia, and you'll be regured, you'll be settled, you'll be calm. Only that life, I mean, it's haim v'rakhaim, it's only nimunim b'tochen that will come about a life of shalvas hanefesh and regur. Kashi yudu tzoyet v'betochen u'betinimus yad b'yad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a yid goes on his way with Emunah and Betochen and Tmimus, not worrying about what will be. Yad beyad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hand in hand with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Machshevoisev v'tachnoisev mekabolas et ha'izun hanachon. I don't know what he means by izun. The perspective, maybe, the perception. Is that the lashon? Don't know. His thoughts and his plans receive the correct, I don't know, maybe direction, vision, perception. This is so important to fix, get. If there's any place where we thick skin, it's absorbing this pshat. This is a whole. This is worth a Musa Seder for a whole man. These lines. Our tafkir is lishtadel v'su lo midi, and nothing else. Mashu magielo, what's coming to you, yavo liyadav b'koloifin, it's going to come to you anyway. Umashu lo magielo, and what's not coming to you, lo yagielo yadav gam hu yafuch esayilam. Even if you'll turn the world upside down, you're not going to get it. What is ishtadlus? Tchilos of avoida. In the end, what's the end? That's so filled with mood. That's a kosh baruch hu kagamol alayimoy. That's a kosh baruch hu decides to feed you. It's not going to feed you. Which means what? You can never worry about success or failure. If you did the ishtadlus you were supposed to do, that's a success. Ah, but you never got top marks. Ah, but you weren't the best in the class. Oh, but you didn't make $1 million. That's Hashem speak to you. He's the failure, not me. I did what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to learn 4 hours a day. I learned 4 hours and 10 minutes a day. Yeah, but you still don't understand what's going on. So what? Why is it my problem? I did what I was supposed to do. There's something more I can do? Okay, fine. I'm not making enough ishtadlus, that's something else. But if I've worked out and I've worked out, how is the ishtadlus I need to make? I've got to work. You get the panos, you don't get the panos. What are you walking around figuring out the failure for? The only failure is, did I make the ishtadlus I was supposed to make or not? You made the ishtadlus you were supposed to make. Go to sleep, what's the problem? Tell me the master of the brisker off, yeah? Go take out the old tapes, you'll see that it's there. He was in a second story building in Vilna when they were bombing Vilna. And it was shiloh whether to go to the bomb shelter, it's not much my simulation, whether it was safer to go to the bomb shelter or safer to stay in the apartment. And he was battling back and forth and going into the struggle and sweating and a real brisker of, you know, with all the daig and with all the energy and whatever, yeah? Because if he goes in the shelter, so direct hit is safer, but if the building from the bomb shelter, they never get out. They'll get killed. There's no way out of the bomb shelter. No one's going to come looking for them. But if he stays in the second floor, he gets direct hit, he's blown out. Yeah, but at least he won't have a building, but then they'll be able to escape. And then the Shalom, Hilchas Pukruch Nefesh, where was the safest place to be? Eventually, Paskin, it makes no difference. Makes no difference. So after Paskin made no difference, he told his son, I'm going to sleep. So his son said, I don't understand. 2 minutes ago, your mom was schwitzing and worrying and, you know, petrified for your life, and now you're going to sleep. He said, I've done everything I can do. Once it makes no difference, I'm being responsible, I've done anything I can do, I've made all these studies I can make, now I'm going to sleep. What must I do? Stay awake? For what? I need rest, I need to sleep, I've got to get up tomorrow morning, I've got to daven, I've got to learn. When you're making these studies, you've got to make these studies like, you've got to make these studies like this. Now, there is no Kodesh Baruch Hu. You've got to go to work and whatever the determination is. You can't sit in the business and say, you know, all the tomatoes are going rotten or whatever, should I buy new ones? Nah, if I'm meant to get a panosa, someone will come and buy rotten tomatoes as well. No, you've got to make your studies like a normal year today, make your studies. You know, throughout the rotten tomatoes, buy some new ones, you know, do run a business the way a yid would run a business if you didn't have a chef. And then once you've done that, sit back and relax. What's the problem? It goes, it doesn't go, it doesn't go. There's not a poshid level, but that's the level required of us.
Is there again that if you're not being successful when you're working 12 hours a day, you're not being successful? Is there a time when Rav would say, that's your status turned anymore?
For sure.
But they wouldn't say, okay, maybe if you open the shop next year, you have more.
Once again, he may say that. I mean, you don't know because you don't have the material. Sometimes it may be in your circumstances you need to make a little ishtadlus or whatever, or maybe, you know, maybe making too much ishtadlus. Maybe the tough kid there would be to cut back the ishtadlus. You're making too much ishtadlus.
That's like when someone hasn't got enough food and
it may be. It may be.
You're making too much ishtadlus.
Could be. I'm not saying once again.
No. I'm just
in theory.
If it's all got to do with ishtadlus,
it's a complicated cheshbon of ishtadlus for this person. How much ishtadlus where is he's holding? How much kreifer? We learn it from the four kings. David HaMelech who davened and did all the ishtadlus in the world or whatever and didn't think he was involved at all. And Chizkiah HaMelech went to bed. Chizkiah HaMelech davening was already too much ishtadlus for him. Because there was a chashash of kreifer etzim yodi. If you've been in business trying to work this sugya, it's very difficult. Very difficult. I've been in business trying to work this sugya. I'm telling you now, it's hard. You sit in the store the whole day and nobody walks in to buy anything, right? So you think, well, maybe the window dressing's not catchy enough, you see? So then you go and you start doing, you know, you start changing things in the window and whatever, then a customer walks in and you go, see, I told you I was right to change the... What do you mean? was there too much ishtadlis? Maybe there was, you know, maybe I should have just said no. It's an ordeal. It's not poshut.
And a regular Rav is going to be able to tell you day in, day out how much ishtadlis you
need. Regular Rav, then it's got to be someone that knows you, somebody. It's not poshut. Depends what you're doing in the time. You're not working. Let's say, for example, you work your 8 hours a day and you've got enough panasa. Now, what are you doing with the spare time? You're not learning, right? Let's say you're not learning. You're using the time, flitting it away on stupidities, right? So Hashem says, look, if I was wasting his life away, right? So what's he going to do when he gets to Shemayim? He's going to say, look, I had to work for panasa. I didn't have time to learn. But I said, but after 8 hours, you had enough panasa. So how's he going to explain the other 8 hours of the day where he didn't do anything? So he'll make you work 8, he'll work, make you work 16 hours a day. At least you'll have an excuse why you didn't learn.
But on the flip side, you could be learning as well, and maybe Hashem's testing you.
That's what I'm saying. Each case, you don't know. It's multiple. You have to know where you're holding whatever. You have to have a Rav who's in touch.
Yes, right at the beginning, I think I asked the same question. I still don't see the. With Issa the Heta, you've got a list of.
You need the fifth Shechelik of Shulchan Aruch, of course. You've got to find a Rav who's learned the fifth Chelik. You can't pass this from Shulchan Aruch. Well, you can from the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch. Yes, you need a sensitivity, you need experience, you need to. I see them really often. I'll give an example. The well-known Maisa from Rav Hutna. You know, the others from Rav Shurkin. One of Rav Hutna's Talmidim, I think, could be Rav Shurkin. Rav Maisa, maybe. I don't know, one of the guys that learned by Rav Hutna. There was a guy that came to. I think it was Rav Shurkin. There were two Talmidim, with two Chavrusas. And the one went to ask Rav Hutna, Charlotte. He wants to get a golden chinuch. He wants to become a teacher, whatever. And he thinks before he study psychology and whatever would be a very good idea. And he wants to leave yeshiva and go off and study psychology for 4 years or whatever before he becomes a rabbi in Cheder, whatever. So Rav Hutna said to him, it's a wonderful idea on condition that he goes to the best university. He's got to make sure that he gets into the best possible. Not going to do one of these backward, one of these half baked jimmy courses. Cheap courses. And I think, I don't remember, but I think he even said, I'll pay the difference. You know what I mean? If the better university is more expensive, you can afford, I'll make a, I think that's what he said. I'm not sure, but he certainly told him, you go, but you go to the best university you can go to, you know. So the Chavrusa heard this, he thought, he has his license, he has his ticket, how do you shiver? So he went to Rav Hutna and he asked him exactly the same question. He wanted to go to Chinuch or whatever, and he thinks he's going to university. Rav Hutna said to him, if I would let you put one foot into university, they'd never let me out again. You understand? Someone else came to Rav Wasserman, two Chavrusos that came to Rav Wasserman. They were going to go to Chinuch or whatever, and the one wanted to know whether he needed to study before he became a Rebbe in Cheder. Did he need to go study and learn to be a Rebbe or whatever, or is it enough that he went and he got an experience? And Rav Wasserman said to him, you don't have to make any studies, you go teach that bracha. And the friend said to him, before you teach, you have to go study and you have to go learn and you have to go find out. You can't just go into the classroom and start teaching. Are we surprised? Why are you surprised? They're two different people. Motivations are different. You need a Rebbe that has a sensitivity to be able to do that. How many times there were guys learning Kolya with me that didn't have panasa and they wanted their jobs and the Rav wouldn't let them go out for 1 second? There were guys who mamash never had a panasa problem in their lives and he told them to go get jobs. I once asked my Rebbe about a certain person that he told to go get a job. It didn't make any sense. He said he needs it for self-confidence. He needs to go out there and needs to see. His whole life he was never short of anything. He never, never lacked anything. Came from a very wealthy home. And he needed self-confidence to, everything was always just given. He needs to go actually build something for himself. I mean, it wasn't about panasa, nish panasa. That's ishtalis, that's Hashem. So I'm just trying to show you, I'm not trying to answer your question, I'm just trying to show you. These things are things that you need a lot of siyata d'ishmaya. You have to have a rov, you need siyata d'ishmaya. You have to work it out. What do you do in the meantime? Okay, you battle a lot. You can have a rov. Somebody that can sit down with you and discuss and go through the issues, and it's not just you. It's about your wife, it's about your kids, each person's unique situation, each kid's a whole world.
And we're back to the shop with the window dressing in the shop. So the ideal situation that you've got a hotline to the local, to the Morad Asra.
No, that's your deal, that's your struggle. He's not going to take away your struggle. That's what, you become a blob.
The Gemara, should I move the window dressing? Is that each?
You've got to work that out for yourself. That's a bit of trial and error. That's what I'm saying, that's the ordeal, that's your struggle. They always tell you you've got to work for 8 hours. So you have a look. What's Paul running? I'm running a polony store. What's the normal? What are normal people working polony stores for 8 hours a day? What's the normal status they do? Do that and the rest forget about. But you think you're going to be clever, you're going to put in a flashing light, yeah, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. That's too much ishtadlis. You know what normal people do? You want to be a doctor today, making a certain amount of pandasa, living in a certain neighborhood or whatever. You have to look and see what are normal doctors in that area doing. I'm going to work 1 hour a day, all the other doctors are working 12 hours a day, and I'm going to be fine. Now, if you're holding on that madraga, you know, because sometimes Sonnenfeld kicks in the mud and finds 2 coins or whatever, great, that's wonderful. It's an objective thing, it's very subjective. But if you don't know what to do, then do it normal people around you are doing. Maybe cut back a little bit. Let's say everyone's working 8 hours a day, so you work 7 hours a day. You learn an extra hour or something like that. Play around. I say, you just say something. You can't find your rope every 20 seconds, you know, like, should I stand up and, you know, should I? Come on, use your seichel. You get general ideas, you get general principles, now go apply them. Ah, you made a mistake, you made too much. Fine, so you learn from your mistake. Next time you'll be clever. I'm just scared to make mistakes.
So what's it going to? I've got too much money this month, so I must have done too much ishtadlis.
No, you were going to get that money whether you make too much ishtadlis, a little ishtadlis or whatever. You got too much money, okay? How do you have too much money? What's pshat?
I've got too little money, so
that's what you're going to get. Go fight her. What's the problem?
Then know where the shana begins. Then how do I know whether I need to ask the shana?
Before you set out for the news man, let's say we're starting now at point A. I'm deciding now. What am I going to do?
Is this off the page? I don't want to divert the shit.
No, this is exactly what we're discussing. This is the sugar of ishtadlis and betochen, and this is everything we're dealing with. This is mamash the shir. Day one. Right? I want to know what I do now and then. I'm coming to the end of it. The kufa, that's usually when it happens, right? At the end of kufa, I'm starting any kufa. How much hours should I work? How many should I learn? Etc. 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 What? Fine. Okay. So you say, "Oh, have you worked out?" He says, "Too fine." You know, you open the store 3 hours a day, and you learn 12 hours a day, and whatever. You know, you put an hour in at night, whatever, and you're loving it. Because then take off you go. That's it. You try that. After 6 months, it's gatenished, whatever. The guys are not money. There's nothing coming out of it. You go back to the store. Try it for 6 months. I don't know what something's not working here. What do you know? Okay. Reevaluate. Usually, you know yourself. Usually, you know yourself. Maybe your expectations of how much you need are unreasonable. Maybe you have to chomp away those. Maybe you don't need as much as you thought you needed. Maybe you need to work a little bit harder. Maybe you need to work a little bit, learn a little bit harder. Maybe the davening. I mean, there could be 50 places where the issues are. I don't know. But Hashem's not trying to fool you. He's not trying to keep you, you know, in the dark. He'll let you know where the issues are. You know, we all know what our issues are. We deny them. We have all sorts of things get in the way with us accepting reality. But you know what we all know what our issues are. No one comes to me and says, "What should I work on?" You all know where your battles are. Nobody. Well, I don't know. I don't have any problems. I once had a talmid coming to me. Erev Elul. Have you heard something? Yeah, working. Yeah, you know, Rosh Chodesh Elul. The beginning of Elul, whatever. And everybody's talking about what to work on and this problem. Issues. I don't have anything to work on.
Sometimes
feel like that. Okay, so then the Yetzer has really got you. Yeah. Really in trouble. Yeah. You don't think you've got any problems with nothing to work on? Wow. The breathing corpse. The only people that have anything to work on are corpses. So this guy's mum has died and he's walking around here and I said to him, I'm sitting with a ghost. The only perfect people are dead. Everyone else is, if you're breathing, it's alright, you have something to work on. So that's someone who's in total denial about everything. I mean, you don't know what your problems are. The Yetzer Hara hasn't spoken to you today. No one's heard anything from the Yetzer Hara today. You're in a lot of trouble. Check your pulse. If the Yetzer Hara hasn't spoken to you today, then you must check your pulse, because it's a big suffix whether you're alive or not. And you don't know what it is, you don't know what your issues are, you don't know what your problems are. Come on, everyone knows what their problems are, because it's the same thing every day. He doesn't come throwing you, "Wow, that was a big chiddush, I never thought of ever doing that avera before." Come on, it's the same. Unless, of course, you work on it and you get to the next level. Fine, then he comes to something new. But generally speaking, day by day, "Wow, I never thought of not getting up for shachris before. Thank you, that was, wow, that was, you know, I'm always at shachris this morning, I couldn't get out of bed. When, Yeah, guys, they don't have a problem getting up. Don't have a problem getting up, guys. They do usually do. It's the same struggle every morning, same little voice every morning. You switch on, and there he is. Well, you don't know it. It's the thing. That's your deal. It's your deal. It's not your deal. It's not your deal. But you know what your deal is. Probably sometimes we're working on too many things and we don't know which one to prioritize. Oh, that's something else. But you know what your deal is. You know how much work you should do. But you have to have a Rav, and you have to keep going back to your Rav and asking Shabbos. He's not going to cross all the T's and dot all the I's. Mm-hmm. He's going to leave you with problems still. At least he'll help you prioritize that.
It seems like a much nicer philosophy to be in. Because most of the world works that you get a full time job and that all the hours are fixed. So it sounds like a nice idea. Open a local shop outside. And then the cheshbon of how much you start, you have to make becomes much easier.
In my showroom, there's stores, I'm telling you now, they open like 1 hour a day. The guy works until he's got enough for the day, and then he closes. The guys have lived like that today still. The titty shop there in Rehov Meir Shorim, I don't know, today it's all changed, right? I'm not that long ago.
The bookshop here, he works a few hours at night, whatever.
In the evening. No, but this guy works until he has enough for food for the day and he closes. He opens after davening, he's in the shop from what, 8:30 in the morning or whatever. The minute he's made enough for the day, he closes the shop. Oh, that's it. And he goes, he's gone. Sometimes you go there 9 o'clock in the morning, the shop's closed. Like, what's happened? Didn't he open today? No, he's open, he's gone home already. So you go there 3 o'clock, he's still sitting there, he's to Hillel, whatever. That was Hillel, man. He used to work just enough to get enough money, you know, chop wood until he had enough to pay to get into the Beis Midrash and for food himself. No more. We're not living like that. Forget about it. As a Bacha, maybe,
yeah.
Society
is different. That's what I'm saying. The world's different.
Telling you, the world's different. That's why it's hard to become a Talmud Chacham today if you're working. Because to work today, you've got to be involved in work.
It's a whole
different world. That's why there is such a polity of not working. Not because there's anything wrong with working. Hakpadah. That's why you see there's so much, there's such a, in the Torah world today, there's a sort of like anti-working sort of ethic. It's not an anti-working ethic. It's an understanding that today, if you really want to become a Talmud Chacham, there are no jobs available that are called vanity shtadlis if you want to become a Talmud Chacham. Because you've got to be totally immersed in learning today. It wasn't like, you know, the Alter Hidden, you could sit in your shop and steig and become a Talmud Chacham and I'd work 2 hours a day as a water carrier and whatever and then go off to the Beis Midrash.
So the type of jobs are different.
The amount of sleep you need is different, the type of jobs, I'm just saying. You're going to become an accountant, you're going to work an hour a day. You know, so that's not called vanity shtadlis. That's not vanity shtadlis. How many accountants work an hour a day? Now, it could be, let's say you've been a bomb shot accountant for 20 years and you're a consultant, so you know, for an hour a day you go in there and all the people ask you, you know, questions and you answer and off you go, a consultant. Maybe. But is that, you know, guys at age or whatever, you're starting off in business today, go look what the guys do to go into business today. Yeah. Start a business. You don't sleep for 3 years minimum. You know, any business you want to start up today is 3 years of wall-to-wall work. Now, I'm going to just work an hour a day. You know, I'm going to go into these internet startups and I'm going to work an hour a day. You can't do that. It's not called vanity standards. What's called vanity?